Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and next Tuesday is primary day in New York State, and one of the most hotly contested races is for the Democratic nomination to succeed Eliot Spitzer as New York State Attorney General. How hotly contested? Here's the way the New York One WNYC debate ended last month.
There are too many big problems in this state, Dominic. People need too much help for us to waste time with bickering on this stage. Let's talk about New York and their problems. Let's make a difference and let's get to work.
Let me agree with Andrew, which is why I've released my speeches and books. But I'll tell you, if Eliot Spitzer had to sue your agency because of the years you were there, is that negative or is it relevant? Okay.
And that was the tone of much of that debate. Still in the race, Andrew Cuomo, Sean Maloney, and my next guest, Mark Green. You heard Cuomo and Mark Green there responding to Dominic Carter from New York One. Mark Green, as you probably know, was New York City's public advocate for 8 years and its consumer affairs commissioner for 4 years before that, and was the Democratic nominee for mayor in 2001. Last week, Green won the endorsement of the New York Times in this race, but has been getting criticism for his relentless attacks on his chief rival, former HUD Secretary Andrew Cuomo. Mark Green, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. It's great to be with you, Brian.
Let's take it from the top. Why do you think you're the best candidate to succeed Eliot Spitzer?
At the end, the standard is quite high because Eliot has done such a good job. It's not who has the most political insider endorsements. Everyone wants them, and they're fine. It's who has the best record of helping consumers and families already and the best ideas to continue Eliot's good work. And so I think the reason the New York Times, well, let me rephrase that, Brian. What I read was the New York Times endorsed me for two reasons. One, they wrote that my history as the consumer commissioner and the public advocate showed in two attorney general-like jobs that I could continue the work of Eliot Spitzer because I was very qualified. Done the work, ready for the job. But the Times then went on, in their words, to condemn Andrew Cuomo because he had a poor record at HUD, because he put PR ahead of housing, and because should he win, he might return the office to the nesting place for political hacks that it was with his predecessor. Mind you, those aren't my words. Those are the New York Times words. One more point, Brian. You just played an accurate clip. It was the end of the debate. The booing you heard was coming from Andrew Cuomo's labor supporters who went into the audience with the purpose of just disrupting it. And the New York Times, when it chided Andrew Cuomo for refusing scheduled debates, he went to 2 of 6, said he really shouldn't send people to boo at one of the few public debates he had.
Well, you've also, in your tough campaign against Andrew Cuomo, you've been turning some people other than his supporters, his, lined up supporters, off. For example, in that same debate, Mr. Maloney, the other candidate, said he's not endorsing Cuomo, but that you should cut it out. Is this a desperation move because Cuomo's still ahead in the polls?
Not at all. Brian, one of the reasons I love to listen to you is you're so calm and fact-based. You're my model. So let me be calm and fact-based. I've said three things in this campaign. The New York Times 4 years ago said that Secretary Cuomo's record on mortgage loan programs subsidizing housing was, their words, a fiasco, leading to foreclosures in Harlem and Brooklyn. Andrew Cuomo should explain what he was doing when the Times said his own program was a fiasco. Second, The Village Voice yesterday, as I'm sure you know, Brian, had an article by Wayne Barrett, probably one of the leading investigative journalists in the city, if not the country, saying that Secretary Cuomo sued a landlord for kickbacks, which led to abysmal conditions in housing, according to Secretary Cuomo. And then when he left office, Andrew Cuomo then went to work for that landlord, earning over $1 million and $800,000 in contributions. Now, I actually wouldn't go to work for and accept $800,000 in contributions from someone I sued for kickbacks. Why should he? Last point. Attorney General Spitzer, who we seek to succeed, sued Housing and Urban Development in court. It's now pending in Brooklyn because Secretary Cuomo's own regulation failed to keep pesticides away from children, according to Elliot Spitzer's legal documents. Brian, the Cuomo camp has a kind of a rhetorical trick. When I raise policy questions based on the New York Times, Elliot Spitzer, and the Village Voice, they send out a slandering surrogate a day or someone to say, oh, Green shouldn't raise any questions. Sorry. If he's going to run on his HUD record and then run away from debates, I will take the debate to him on policy. Now, if he wants to respond with personal attacks, which his ads do, that's his business. But it shows I don't think he can answer policy questions from these sources.
We can take some phone calls for Mark Green, Attorney General hopeful, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Let me ask you one question about that Village Voice story that you referred to. I haven't had a chance to speak myself with Wayne Barrett about it, but I know you had another debate with Mr. Cuomo last night in which you emphasized that story. And as you summarized it, and as I've seen, it says Cuomo accepted employment and $800,000 in campaign contributions from this landlord who Cuomo had sued when he was Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Cuomo says the story contains errors, but what's the issue exactly if Cuomo did go after that company for wrongdoing? I guess you can't say he failed to do his job because he was, you know, too involved or had a conflict of interest.
Sure.
He did sue that company, and it's possible, I guess, that the company cleaned up its act after being sued by HUD, maybe because it was sued by Andrew Cuomo and HUD. Would its violations taint it forever for a relationship for Andrew Cuomo after the fact?
Yeah. First, it's an interesting theory, Brian. It would be desirable if Andrew Cuomo commented. Again, this is not a wild charge from a marginal person. It's a 4,000-word article from Wayne Barrett in the Village Voice. He said really nothing in response. What the article said, and again, I have no independent knowledge, but this came out this week, is that at first he sued, saying that he saw human waste and sewage near children, and it was abysmal. Then he sued for $7.5 million in kickbacks. And then Barrett said that the settlement of the case was a sweetheart deal, which was lenient and allowed the company, Andrew Farkas ran it, Insignia was the name of it, to sell $1 billion worth of property, which they couldn't have done without HUD's blessing. Then he leaves, and within 2 years starts accepting money. I would argue it's tainted money from someone who was sued for and admitted to kickbacks, which led to poor conditions. When Attorney General Richard Blumenthal yesterday was asked about, would you ever accept money from someone you sued for kickbacks later? He said, of course not. Because, Brian, there's the appearance of a conflict. You're receiving monies that could be tainted. And the reason I say the appearance is both I and Andrew Cuomo and most public people say you have to avoid, of course, a direct conflict of interest, which can be criminal, but even the appearance of a conflict of interest, of pay-to-play, where you're benefiting from some public decision. So he's done something that I wouldn't do. And actually, let's ask ourselves, would Elliot Spitzer, who's suing now Dick Grasso in court, the former head of the New York Stock Exchange for receiving excessive compensation, would Elliot Spitzer conceivably accept money in 2 years from Dick Grasso, who he's suing? I think it looks unseemly.
Let's take a phone call. And Paul, in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Mark Green.
Hi, Brian. I love your show. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
And, Mark, I shook hands with you at a street fair about 5 years ago.
That was you.
Yeah, how you doing? Great to see you. I'll tell you, the way things are going now, it's do or die. We need Elliot to get the governorship, and we need you to get the attorney general, or we're all effed. Well, anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about is the way you can get about a million or plus votes on the Upper West Side straight away if you can tell us that you're going to protect the existing rent-stabilized housing on the Upper West Side and all of Manhattan, all the boroughs, because...
Let me jump in. I know why you want rent-stabilized housing protected. Mark Green, does the Attorney General of New York State have any power over that situation?
No control, but influence. The Attorney General has to review any conversion plans if a building wants to go co-op or condominium. So yesterday, Brian, I stood with Assemblywoman Sylvia Friedman. This is not West Side, but Lower East Side, at Stuytown and Peter Cooper Village, where my wife grew up, because they may want to condominiumize that development, which should be protected middle-class housing. Sir Paul, the answer to your question is I'm strongly in favor of not continuing to weaken the rent stabilization and rent control laws, as Governor Pataki has done, decontrolling and therefore increasing the rents dramatically at housing that, if we lose it, we'll lose the middle class. Thank you for your sentiments on, I don't know that the world needs Elliot and I to win, but let me say, Elliot Spitzer and I are the New York Times ticket. They endorsed him and me for those two offices.
Let me follow up on his question about real estate, and because your criticism of Andrew Cuomo had this week to do with real estate. You have strong ties to the real estate industry, including your brother, who's a developer, and you've gotten a lot of real estate money in campaign donations going back to your mayoral campaign. So how much more independent are you for voters concerned with real estate
influence? That's a great question. I have one sibling who, God bless him, has done extremely well in real estate. And so if he gave me $800,000 or zero, he has the same influence over me. He's my brother.
But it's not just him, right? It's,
hold it. My brother, of course, gives and raises money. When I was running for mayor and could have been the mayor, people in this city gave me money. I will say, of course, I was the one who couldn't self-finance, and I raised money lawfully from whoever wanted to give it to me. So everybody understands I'm a tenant advocate. I'm the first candidate for attorney general, actually the first public official, Brian, to say I'd closely scrutinize, as attorney general, any potential sale of Stuytown and Peter Cooper Village. Allow me to say that lawful money from my own brother, who's hardly about to support my rival, and from the real estate industry is fine. The question, of course, that the Village Voice was raising is it was money from, the Voice called him a slumlord, who had engaged in kickbacks and pollution and was sued by HUD. And that, of course, has nothing remotely to do with the person who preceded me by 7 years as my parents' son.
Let's take another call. Mike in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
I got three things very quickly. Yeah. Most questions are really statements. I live on the Upper East Side. Mark Green ran for mayor. He ran for representative in my district, House of Representatives. He ran for U.S. Senator and a public advocate. Now he's running for attorney general. And is there any office in the state or local that he has not coveted?
Yeah.
The first.
Wait a minute.
The second thing.
One second. No. You can't multiply. I will answer every question. Let me take one at a time, sir. Obviously, you know, I don't mind that you're set up and calling. I'd love to answer. Of the three people running for attorney general, I'm the only one who's held elective office. I certainly did lose for mayor to Mike Bloomberg. People know that. I tell you, I am. Andrew Cuomo has a nasty ad saying I'm a perennial candidate. Actually, I'm a perennial advocate, whether I'm in office as your elected public advocate or as a people's lawyer for 35 years. I'm always fighting for families. Now, when Mario Cuomo ran in 1977 and 1978 for mayor, then attorney general, and then lieutenant governor, I think it would have been wrong to criticize him for being a perennial candidate. He was an honorable, brilliant man who wanted to serve the public. So I'll tell you, I don't quit fighting for New Yorkers, even if I lost the mayoralty in 2001. I believe in public service.
Mike, what's your other question?
Question, sir?
Two other things. Anyway, is there anything you differ with Elliot Spitzer on?
Yes. he's for the death penalty. I'm ardently against it because it doesn't deter, and you can't exonerate and bring back to life someone who's been wrongly executed, which often happens, according to the Innocence Project.
Mike, thank you for your call. Two is all you get. I know you had a third one. two is the quota per caller. Reverend Al Sharpton this week endorsed Mr. Cuomo, and here's what he said about your relentless attacks on Cuomo, as quoted in the New York Times today. Reverend Sharpton said, "What bothers me is that I think he engages in the politics of desperation that sets in during the last days of his campaigns. He tries to win by using crash and burn tactics. It only leads to Republican conservative victories. We can't have a repeat of 2001 because it will come back to haunt us." What do you say to Reverend Sharpton?
Al Sharpton is not running for Attorney General. David Dinkins, who ardently supports me, is not running for Attorney General. We all like our surrogates. It's only me and Andrew Cuomo who are really competitive. And I don't, when my rival sends out surrogates to personally attack me, I don't do the equivalent. I've never asked, nor should or would Mayor Dinkins attack Andrew Cuomo personally. It's all about our programs. So I ask your listeners, forget about words like personal and attacks. It's all about policy and record. And so when I quote the New York Times, which endorses me, and then said Andrew Cuomo, if he won, could undermine the political independence of Elliot Spitzer's office, and when I cite the Village Voice for saying that Andrew Cuomo accepted huge gifts from a developer that he sued for kickbacks, and when Elliot Spitzer goes to court because Secretary Cuomo failed to keep pesticides from kids for 4 years, those are public records, Brian, and they're publicly documents. Their answers are always to attack me. Wait. Why? Frankly, I don't think they can answer these questions. And Andrew is trying to run on his last name and his political insiders.
We have a minute left on the job of Attorney General. Elliot Spitzer surprised people when he became Attorney General with the specific industries he chose to go after. People knew he was a hard-charging guy, but no one predicted he'd take on big finance and big insurance. Do you have any inkling of what kind of missions you would be on as Attorney General?
Public radio.
Ha-ha.
Brian,
busting up the cartel, right?
I've spent an awful lot of my public life as the public advocate and a consumer advocate on health care. I am really focused on making health care more affordable and accessible by going after HMO fraud and Medicaid fraud. I did all these investigations of HMOs, which are great organizations if you don't get sick. 83% of them, when I was public advocate, I showed violated the state's Managed Care Bill of Rights. So if people want to know my priorities, it's health care, it's political corruption, and finally, I believe an election is not a monologue of ads. It's a comparison of records. And let's put aside the surrogates and the endorsers. I'm proud of the New York Times and National Organization for Women, the Sierra Club are for me. It's now who has the best record and ideas to win.
And that has to be the last word. Mark Green, who also, I will mention, has a new book out on national issues called Losing Our Democracy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.